Because religion tells you that you got to have your hair a certain way, that you got to look a certain way, and everything's got to be a certain way. You know, I'm not into that. But what I am into is salvation. I'm into salvation. I'm into people believing that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that he rose from the dead, that he was crucified for us, and that he saves people, and that he's not looking for a reason to keep people out, but that he's looking for a reason to have people come in. And so I just want to put that inside of you, because the only thing that we can really take out of this life is souls. That's it. There's nothing else. If you think you're going to take your wealth to heaven with you, you're not. If you think that you're going to take, you know, whatever it is that you think, the only thing that we take out of this life, Joe, is souls. And so may you be wise. The Word of God says that he that winneth souls is wise. It takes skill to be able to do that, and it takes leading by example. And I'm going to ask Casey and my niece Isabella to come up here. These are about there's a few people that I can get away with putting them on the spot, and my family is one of them. We've been raised in the ministry. Ministry is what Casey and I know, and I have no regret about that. And it's important that our family always do this. That's how we're going to always be blessed, is that we serve people, we serve the Lord. So, Casey, I'm going to ask that you would lead us in something. Bella, follow your mom. May you remember this always. It's what life's all about, just bringing people to God. Y'all stand to your feet. You know, church is not a spectator sport. It's something that you get involved in. There's parts of my services I'm sure that you feel uncomfortable, because maybe you're an antisocial person. You don't like to shake hands with people. You don't like to, you know, have people all up in your business. And I understand that, but at the end of the day, just get over it. Because if you come through Parish Christian Center, I want you to know that you're loved and that you're cared for and that you matter. And you don't have to come in here when everything in your life is going good. I want you to come in here when you're brokenhearted and let us help heal you up. And y'all, when she's singing, y'all sing with her. The Word of God says that if you won't praise him, that he'll call on the rocks and the rocks will praise him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want anybody taking my place as far as the worship that I have for my Savior. So, Casey, I'm going to be quiet for a little bit.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
If there's anybody in here this morning and you're struggling, you say, Lord, I'm just brokenhearted about some things. I'm going to ask you to come up here. I feel like God wants to mend some brokenness in the hearts of people.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. 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 I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, let it be a to worship. blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. There's happiness in the blood of Jesus. There's happiness in the blood of Jesus. There's happiness in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There's everything in the blood of Jesus. There's everything in the blood of Jesus. There's everything in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Amen. Thank you, girls. Y'all may be seated. God wants to give people hope in here this morning. He always wants to do that, but today's a special morning. I feel hope coming in. And you know, there's some things in this life that only God can make up for them. There's some things that's happened probably in y'all's lives that have been so heartbreaking, traumatic, chaotic, devastating. And you're saying, well, God, where do I even go from here? And I'm going to tell you something. God's telling you this morning that only He can make up for those things, and that's exactly what He's going to do. That's exactly what He's going to do. And so let peace begin to flow into your heart and into your soul this morning. Go with me to Proverbs 16, chapter 9, or Proverbs 16, verse 9. More than ever before, it's very important that the believer understands that their life is important, and there's a lot of value in you. And the more that you can know God and trust God and seek God, the better off that you're going to be. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. It says, in his heart, a man plans his course. And humanity likes to know what's next. We like to be able to know a little bit into the future about what's going to happen. And what I can tell you is that's not always possible. Because it says here in the Word of God, in his heart, a man plans his course. So in our heart, we make plans for things. In our heart, we anticipate things. And what happens with a believer is we, like humanity does, we are that way also. We get our heart set on something. Do you ever say, you know, I really had my heart set on something, and then there was a big disappointment or a big devastating event or a big just something there, and it went against what you had planned. It went against what your heart had planned. And so what I can tell you this morning is that, you know, there are things that you planned. There are things that you anticipated for, and they got messed up. And you're saying, you know, I really had my heart set on that. And that causes discouragement sometimes inside of us. And it says, but the Lord determines his steps. what does that actually mean for us? The Lord will decide where you go in every part of your life. And what I can explain to you is this right here. It's not a sin, or it's not unnatural to have some things planned out for your life. I think that that's a good thing. I think the only time where that's bad is when you can't let go of what you planned and just accept what God is doing. I'll say that one more time. I think the only time that that's bad is when you can't let what you planned go to let what actually God has for you. You can't accept it because you're holding on to what you planned. And it says, but the Lord determines His steps. So we make our plans, but the Lord decides where we're going to go. And here's what I can tell you. I have gone places because of the Lord that I never thought that I would go, that I never wanted to go. God will take you down some roads where you think, I certainly don't want to do that. I certainly don't want to go there. And then you'll be there. And it's in those moments that you're really, really made. God wants you to get excited about your life again. He wants you to stop thinking about all that you lost, all of the disappointment, all of the discouragement, all of the heartache. And I'm not belittling all of those things. Those are all relevant to your life. God understands when you're broken. He understands when you're hurting. He knows when you feel like you can't take one more day. But what God wants you to do is trust Him enough to say, God, I'm going to put aside every discouragement, every bad thing that's happened, everything that was not expected. And God, I'm going to trust You. And because I trust You, I'm going to learn to look forward to everything that You have. How many of y'all believe that God has something bad in store for you? See, He doesn't. God doesn't have anything bad in store for you. And because of that, you can look forward to living. God does not want you to be in dread of every day. If you're someone that's constantly complaining and you find yourself always down and always, it's your confession. It's the fact that when somebody says, how are you doing, and it's never good, that's where you need to start. Because we should not be that way. I have learned, and I am training myself to stop asking people how they're doing. Because Moni, most of the time, it's not good. And here's the deal. I want to hear what is good coming out of your life. And I'm going to tell you this. If you are still sitting upright and you are breathing and you are living, there is something good. It is. We may think, well, you're just being, well, of course we're breathing, so that's good. No, look. You're breathing because the living God saw it fit to put that breath inside of your lungs and to have it flow out continually all throughout the day. That means that He's still got something for you to do here. And whatever God has for you, it's more than what you could ever think. It's going to make you happier than what you could ever think. It's going to make you more fulfilled than you could ever think. It's going to bring more joy to you than what you could ever think. That's why God wants you to get excited about your life. If you're down in the dumps constantly, what is the difference between you and the rest of the world? So the Word of God says here that yes, humans make their plans, but it's the living God that decides where we go. He decides where we're going to go. What does that mean? He has a direction for your life. He has a direction. Many people feel very lost. Believers feel lost. Well, I don't really know what God's doing in my life. I don't really know, you know, what's going to happen. Look here. Get in that place where you're praying on a regular, daily basis and begin to seek God. I've been in church all of my life. When I wanted to be and when I didn't want to be, I was in church. And there was times where I was made to go to church, and that is not child abuse. Okay? I'm going to keep this real. Because I believe that parents are failing. And people don't like to hear stuff like this. But I'm going to keep this as real as it can be, because when you walk out these doors, you've got to live that sermon out. And so there's not a lot of room for me to fluff it all up. Because if I do, you're going to walk out and be like, well, everything's great. I have no problems. I don't have any challenge. My job is to challenge you. It's okay to make plans. I believe that God wants you to. Here's the beautiful thing about God. When we really seek after Him, there's a time in the believer's heart where we start asking Him, where's the direction that I'm going to go? And our plans start lining up with what He really has for us. He has a direction for your life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Many, many plans. Many, many plans. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. There's lots of plans up inside of your heart, and those are not bad. But you have to understand that at the end of the day, it's the Lord's purpose that's going to come out in the wash. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. So we have just read in God's Word where God has direction. We just read where God will direct the steps. He will establish the steps. And we've read where it's His purpose that prevails. It's His purpose. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You were put here for a purpose, and you were put here on purpose. You were put here for a purpose, and you were put here on purpose. A couple months ago, I don't know where I was at. It's probably getting donuts or something unhealthy for me. And I was telling bye to somebody, and they said, Pastor Kelly, have a good day on purpose. Have a good day on purpose. We are living in a very lazy society. Very lazy. And if we're not careful, we're going to become lazy Christians. Because if something doesn't just naturally happen for us, we're going to be like, well, it just didn't happen. I just didn't have a good day. It's just not in the cards. No, there's times where you're going to wake up and every odd is going to be stacked against you, but you still have a choice whether or not you're going to have a good day or not. And so you've got to decide, I'm going to have a good day on purpose. I'm going to have a good life on purpose. And you start living your life with the purpose. Now, I want to talk to that person today that I say this so many times, and I say it because I have lived it. I say it because I have gotten through this part. I struggled with this message yesterday. I haven't struggled this long with the message, Jimmy, in a long time. And I had to fight and really get in there to see, what does God really want people to say? And here's the nugget right here in the service. If you don't hear anything else that I'm going to say, you need to hear this. God sees every single person that came in here today under the sound of my voice, and you are having trouble getting past whatever you planned. It didn't work out that way. There's been some unexpected things that's gone on in your life. And here's what I'm going to tell you. The biggest thing that you're going to ever grieve over is how you thought your life was going to be. We don't just wake up and say, oh, tragedy's going to come. I'm going to have a tragedy at this age. We don't think like that. In our mind, we're planning out the good things. The biggest thing you're going to ever have to grieve over is what you thought was going to happen in life. Why is that? Because whatever happened in your life, it caught you by surprise. And it's been devastating for you. God sees that. He sees it. He's asking you today, open up that heart's door and let Him come in and give you something in place of that grief. We have to get past how we thought it was going to be. Life isn't ever what you thought it was going to be. Amen. Beauty comes from ashes. From the most heartbreaking of things come the most beautiful things. Can you trust God with it? Can you trust Him with it? We know that He's worthy of our trust. But can you make yourself trust in Him when you don't understand why He allowed something to happen? Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. How much longer do you want to live with heartbreak and hurt and discouragement and irritation? You decide that every day. You get to decide it. How many of you can say there's just things that I never saw in my life happening, and they happened, and it just left me just kind of indifferent? Not knowing really how to feel about it. It just caught you so off guard. I get that. I get it. Grieve what you thought. Grieve what you thought. It's okay to crawl right up in Daddy God's lap and tell Him what broke your heart. It's time for believers to have some real conversations with the Lord. If you just come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you sit in the chair that you always sit in, and that's all you do, you're not working out your salvation. What's bothering you? Because whatever's bothering you, that's the very thing that you need to talk to God about. It's the very thing that you need to talk to Him about. Because you've got to get to that place that you're enjoying your life. Because God has nothing but blessing for you. But many times, through all sorts of things that life brings us, the unexpected happens and it leaves us where we don't know what to do because we didn't expect those things. How do you trust God? You know, when somebody preaches a message like this, I want to know, how do I do that? How do I do it? A lot of people want to preach messages about loving your enemies. I'm going to be honest with y'all. out of every single thing in my life, and I do a lot of hard stuff, Jeff, you know the hardest thing for me is to just love my enemies. There is like a gangster inside of me that I have to wrestle that to the ground every day. Because I want to fight with them. I want to argue with them. I want to tell them how terrible they are. And God ain't into none of that. Unfortunately. Because if he was, he'd also have to tell us how bad we had been. And then we'd open up a whole can of worms we could never put up back in that can. But God loves you so much, he tells us in his word how to do some of the, actually all of the hard things. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now the three verses, I'm going to refresh your memory. It said that with our heart, a man plans his course. The next verse we read, many plans in a man's heart. There's many plans in our heart. Now, the thing about believers is this right here. A lot happens with your heart. And in, how many nurses we got up in here? Two, three, okay. It's no mistaking that in our physical body and in our spiritual body, the heart is where everything, it just, we got to have that heart operating correctly. And the Bible talks so much about your heart. It tells us the heart is deceitful above all who can know it. Just tells us so much about it. And it's because our heart is what everything hits. You got to have your heart right. And when you notice that it isn't right, you pray about that part that's not right. And you ask God, how do I make this right? How do I get it right? I used to, back in my day, I used to think, well, just coming to church will do me good. Nothing else is needed. Well, let me tell you, coming to church is just literally brushing the surface of what's actually got to happen in your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in him with everything. With everything. With no reservation. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. I'm going to take this back 6 years ago. God will tell you things, and if you don't listen, you're going to come right back around, and he'll have to tell you again. But usually when that happens, other stuff happens. And how many of you know it's better to listen the first time? It's better to listen the first time. I started pastoring July 28th of 2019. And about 2 or 3 months into that, I'm so busy when I get up in this place, I don't hardly ever go to the bathroom. I don't hardly ever do nothing but run around and try to make sure everything's taken care of. But I went to the bathroom. I started looking around. And I thought, this is the ugliest bathroom I have ever been up in, gas stations included. And I was thinking, God can do better than this. And as God is my witness, I was literally going to the bathroom and God said, Kelly, I want you to redo the bathrooms of this church. They're not up to my standards. Now, all of y'all that think I'm just being crazy, well, I am crazy, but God has chosen me to just preach it, and I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to preach where we live.
Preach, Pastor, real deal.
Well, I came out of that bathroom knowing God wanted them bathrooms remodeled. But in my little pea brain head, because I had only pastored for about 3 months, I was intimidated at what everybody would think and what they'd say. And, oh, you know, and I'm going to tell you, when the carpet color ain't right, everybody's going to blame the pastor. Everything, at the end of the day, it falls back on the pastor. And that's why when people come and ask me, hey, can the church do this? Or I don't just say yes, because here's what I know, that if there's one bad experience that's had over what somebody decides to do when they're representing the church, that's all coming back to me. So I was very reluctant. And I asked a couple people that were in leadership with me, and they said, well, that's a good idea, but why don't we just wait? And I said, okay. Let me tell you something. There's times God's going to tell you to do something, and it don't matter who opposes that, you're going to have to do it. Whether it's something as small as remodeling the church bathroom or as big as whatever. You're not going to have everybody's approval, and let me tell you something, you darn sure don't need it. You need to wean yourself off of needing the approval of man, because man is fickle. And just depending on how they woke up and if they got enough coffee that day, that's how they're going to give you advice. Okay? And you don't need anybody's approval but God's. And that's taken me a very long time to learn. Because here's the deal. You could be as good as you could possibly be, as whatever as you could possibly be, and at the end of the day, there's going to always be somebody that don't like you and don't agree with you. And you should not spend a lot of time worrying about why they don't like you and why they don't agree with you, because really, it's irrelevant to you.
Amen.
Well, guess what happened, CC? I'm kidding you not. 3 weeks later, the women's bathroom started flooding, damaged, a lot of damage back there. I called the best plumber I knew. For 3 days, he dug. Could not get it fixed for 3 days. At one point in time, I walked in the hall and I saw him. And all I could see was his head, because he literally had to drill a hole in the foundation and you could see the dirt. And I walked past him and I heard God say, you should have obeyed me. Let this be a lesson, because see, in your heart, you knew what the right thing to do was. And I poked my head in there and I said, how are you doing? Have you found it yet? And he goes, no, and I'm about to start drinking. I thought, it's a good thing I'm the pastor. I'd be doing it with you, because this is really stressing me. Because if the plumber don't know how to fix it, that's a problem. Now look here. We got those bathrooms fixed. Got them remodeled. Guess what? If God tells me the next time he says, Kelly, I want you to remodel the bathrooms, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Lowe's. I'm going to start looking at the paint colors, see what tickles his fancy. Lord, speak to me. Are we done with gray? Just let me know. What are we going with here? I can make y'all laugh. The reason I tell these life stories is because I need you to understand that God relates to you. He can relate to you. I lost a lot of sleep over that flooding in the back. It happened. I didn't expect it. Around that same time, we had to go outside and have outside services. This is all like in the first 6 months. Kid you not, the first 6 months, flooding happened. My whole family had been turned upside down. We had to go outside and to do an outside church. People had to sit in their cars. When I stepped foot as the pastor of this church, it was like being in fire every single day for the first year. And I felt like God baptized me in fire, and I was so mad that when I preached mad. And it amazes me that people still stayed after that preaching. I'm so glad y'all did. But at the end of the day, one day God and I, we just had to have a talk. The same type of talk that I'm asking you to have with him. See, the devil has come into this world and into our society, and you know what he's taken from humanity? Communication. Communication. People would rather text than talk. People would rather be ugly online in some way than to just confront somebody and say, hey, I have a problem with you. There's some matters of the heart with people in here, and God's saying, it's about time you and I had a conversation. And I remember the day that God and I had, it was one of the most important conversations of my life, and I just got to that point, Bobby, where I just said, God, I don't even know why you called me to do this, but I have felt it my whole life. He said, well, Kelly, you have a big mouth. But I've raised you up your whole life to do exactly what you're doing. And I said, God, I'm mad at you for that. See, are you mad at God in here this morning because there was some stuff that didn't happen the way you thought it was supposed to? We got to work through those things, don't we, Bobby? Sometimes you just got to sit and say, God, I'm mad because something happened and I didn't expect it, and it just broke my heart into a million pieces, and I don't know if I'm going to ever be the same. I don't know if I can be happy again. Here's the deal. When you have those raw conversations with God like that, he comes in and he just says, thanks for letting me know, and he begins to work on all that stuff. See, there's some things that... Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. See, we just think that that verse is just for salvation, but it's for every single door, every single thing that's going on inside of us. And see, if there's a depression in your life, God is standing outside of that door, and he's knocking on that depression, and he's wanting to come in and sup with you and turn that thing around. If it's anxiety, he's standing outside of that door, and he's saying, hey, come in here. I want to come into every anxious thought and take them apart piece by piece to where all you have is confidence. But there's real conversations that have to be had with him. And then he challenges us in his word with Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 where it says, trust in the Lord. And then he gives us I believe that this is an adjective. I've been out of school for like, oh my gosh, like 25 years now. That's horrifying. But he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Casey, is the word all an adjective? What is it? I got the literature teacher over there, and she don't know either. I'm going to call it an adjective today. It's an adverb. I don't even know what those are anymore. How many of y'all know what an adverb is? The twins are going in the back. Kind of shaky about that too. I'm going to call it an adjective, Leslie. Tanya, you're pretty smart. What do you think? Okay. I'm going to call it an adjective because to me an adjective is describing something. The noun, Jimmy. Okay. God tells us, trust me with all of your heart. I don't know if there's a taller order. Because we want to have that little reservation, and the reservation is, well, what if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't work out? Look here. Read Romans chapter 8. Start at verse 28. Now God works all things out for the good of those that love him and to those that are the called. All things. Trust him with all of your heart. And when you start getting into these places in your life where you're feeling like, God, this happened unexpectedly and I'm having trouble trusting you. Pray over the category where you're having trouble trusting him. I got outside, Jimmy, and I started preaching outside. I told God I would never do that. Let me tell you something. Don't ever tell God what you won't do because he'll get you out. He'll get you doing whatever you said you wasn't going to do. I don't tell God I don't really tell him I'm not going to do it. I've learned that it's just better for me if I just go along with what he says. I said, God, I ain't going to go outside. I'm not an outside girl, and I don't like to sweat, and I don't like it. I'm not going out there preaching. The back of that church flooded, and then the pandemic happened. And what did I do? I went outside, and I just began to preach. And I'm going to tell you, that was some of the most exciting places in ministry that I've ever been in. And it was because God took me out there, and he started taking apart some of the negative habits that I had gotten in that short time of pastoring. But one of the things that I was afraid of, see, we got to know in the places that we're not trusting him. And for me, I said, you know, I don't know how people are going to receive me. Dad's pastored there. We founded the ministry, and I'm not him, and I can never be him. See, you need to know that you weren't designed to be anybody else. Amen. I said, I cannot be him. I can't minister the way that he does. There's just certain things we're just so different that I don't know. And I said, God, what happens if everybody leaves and the church shuts down? So you need to tell God some of your vulnerable stuff that you're afraid of. Because, see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God wants to address some of the things that you're afraid of. I just tell them, Lord, I'm afraid that I'm going to fail. And I'm afraid everybody's going to leave. Here's something you need to remember. Everybody can leave you. Everybody can forsake you, but God never will. And here's a rule that I have operated under my entire pastorship. The one person I never want leaving the church is God himself. If my message is exactly what he wants to be said and everybody leaves, I'm still good if he's still here. Amen. It's time that you begin to enjoy your life again, that you begin to get excited again, that you get out of the routine and get out of the funk that you've been up in, and you start living again and you start loving God enough to just trust him and say, Lord, I don't know why this happened, and it's really irrelevant because I'm here and we are here at this point in my life and I've got to move on. So, Lord, I'm going to just go with where you've got me right here. Because here's what God does. He meets you right in that place. He meets you right in that place. So trust him with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. There's things in life that happen that you may not understand why they ever happen. And you've got to be okay with that. There's things that may take 5 years to unfold before you really get direction on why exactly they happen. There's things that happen, and it was because of no fault of your own. Those are the hardest things to deal with. Because you didn't ask for them. You didn't do anything to deserve them. They just came. And they brought heartache when they came. And there's something about God and heartache where He does His very best work. So if you're brokenhearted in here this morning about something and you can't seem to get past the brokenness, I'm going to tell you, seek God like you've never sought Him before and literally open that door and let Him come into that place that's broken. He wants to inhabit that place. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. I'm going to preach this where we all live. How many of you have ever seen somebody in the store or in Walmart, you didn't like them and you went down another aisle? Praise God for honesty. Miranda, the day that I get over doing that, I'm plumb up on my way to greater and bigger things. I don't know what comes over me, Moni, but there is very few. I can count on one hand the people I don't like. That's how I generally like everybody, but by golly, there's a couple. Ain't none of them in the church, so y'all can all just breathe. But if I even see their car in Walmart, we ain't doing that. The other day, Paul, 2 weeks ago, I don't care to tell my stuff because here what I know, truth will set you free. My truth is going to help free you up because you're going to stop looking at me like I'm a saint and just realize that I sin too and that I do things that I'm not proud of too, and that's going to help you challenge yourself. The other day I rolled up into Walmart. I thought I saw somebody's car I didn't want to see that particular day. And I just did a U-turn and just went plumb up out of that parking lot. And I told God, I ain't dealing with that today. I don't want to see them.
Did you go somewhere else to see them?
No, I had to go to Walmart. And there's only stuff that you can get in Walmart. And I'm gonna preach something to you for a moment. This person caused a lot of heartache in my life that I'm still not over. I wish I was over it. I wish I could just let it go. There's about two things in my life and I'm struggling so darn bad to just let them go. I hate that. I hate that they're still there, Leslie. I want so bad to just let them go. And it's just like, for whatever reason, it's a struggle. And when I think I'm over it on a bad day, it'll come right back, and I realize all the more I'm not over it. And I hate that because my heart wants to please God because I love God so much that I don't want that stuff in me. So when I see that it's there, it makes me angry because I want it out of there, Moni. But at the same time, my darn feelings have gotten in the way of my whole moral belief system. And those two, my spirit man and my flesh man, they're duking it out constantly up inside of me. And I can tell you what's going on in me. And see, what I just did is called true transparency, and very few people can do that. And we do not live in a world where we need to accept, I'm okay, you're okay, because none of us are okay. We are all very screwed up. And if you think you're not, then you're probably the most screwed up one out of us, all of us. People are like, man, that Pastor Kelly, she's nuts. And I don't like women preachers anyway, so pfft. Look here. Thank you. I got up out of that parking lot. And God began to minister to me. And God loves us so much that he corrects us. But when he corrects us, there's ways that he corrects us. And I'm going to tell you something. When God corrects you, that needs to make you fall in love with him all the more, because he only corrects and chastises those that he loves. And when God steps in and say, hey, you know what you're doing, that's not right. When he does that with you, you need to say, man, God, I love you and thank you for correcting me. A fool hates correction. You go to correcting a wise person, they'll love you and they'll thank you for that. The second that I turned that car and got up out of that parking lot, I started getting some correction. God said, Kelly, for your enemy's sake, I need you in their presence. Because I'm going to begin to deal with them. And if you really want what's best for them, you're going to stop dodging them. Because I'm going to put you in their presence. And every time I do, I'm going to work on them one more time. I'm going to begin to deal with them. I'm going to be able to help them. See, you either are going to love your enemy. Why am I preaching about this? Because there's some things that people done to y'all, and you can't get over them. And they were unexpected. And you're having trouble moving on with your life because you still got that thing up in there that's snagging you up. That's why I'm preaching this. God needs you to do what you're supposed to do. Don't be dodging people, because look here, if God allows you to cross paths with them, that was for a reason. That was for a reason. And most of the time, more than one reason. And I said, God, give me the courage and some duct tape to be around my enemy. And God, help me to represent you in the very best way when I am. How many of you understand? I learned this when I was in the medical field for 15 years. We live in a very rebellious society. And people think that they can just do whatever they want to do and there be no consequences. That's why everything's messed up. All these people getting fired for all the stuff that they've said about this Charlie Kirk thing. At the end of the day, nothing should have been said other than we're going to pray for that person's family. Because at the end of the day, more than he was a this or a that or a Republican or a Democrat or whatever, he was a person. Does somebody really deserve to be gunned down for opening their mouth and saying things? No. I worked for 5 doctors, and they'd get you in there and they'd say, look, if you put something dumb on your Facebook, we're going to fire you. Because you're not going to misrepresent our company, and you're not going to shame us. Let me tell you something. You all represent the living God. And you need to have the utmost respect for how you represent him. Because you may be the only Bible somebody reads. I was somewhere yesterday, and I said hi to somebody, and I told them, yeah, you know, your family's coming. We love that person. And they said, you know, my family member said that they would never be in a church. I love those people. I've had so many people say, Pastor Kelly, I'm going to come and volunteer, but I ain't never going to be in your church, so don't even ask me. Look, I ain't asking you. I don't have to. I trust that God's going to work on you. How does he work on you best if I'll just love you? How does he work on people that he's going to put in your life if you just love them and show them Jesus the best way that you can? In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. There's a lot of times where our path isn't straight because we've got that tug of war inside of us, just like I just described in my own life, and we're fighting against. It's just a constant fight. You get to decide who's going to win in your life. Are you going to bow down to what your flesh wants you to do? Are you going to literally make yourself stay stuck in your life because the unexpected happened and you decide that you won't move on from that? See, that's a decision. And I don't say that lightly. I say that in the most humblest way because some of you have been through some awful, gut-wrenching things, and I'm not making light of them. But what I am asking you to do is the very question that God sent me in here to ask you today. Please live again. Please enjoy living again. In Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him we have our being. I'm not saying it hasn't hurt. I'm not saying that it was right. But what I am saying is, will you let God be God? Will you let Him be the Lord of your life? And will you say, God, I'm going to stop asking you why. I'm going to stop letting this continually wound me, and I'm just going to trust you with everything that I've got. And God, you're going to make this, you're going to turn this around for me. Last place for me this morning, Jeremiah chapter 29. We've talked about our plans. It's not wrong to have plans. It's good. But ultimately, God decides our direction. He decides our purpose. He asks us to trust Him and not lean on only the things that we can understand. There are things that you're not going to understand, and you have to accept that and learn to just be okay with that. Because ultimately, God has the plan, and the plan has never changed. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. So He says, I know exactly what I planned out for you. And He didn't just say it, Jeff. He declared it. See, everything that the living God has declared over your life, you can count on those things. The plans that you made that broke your heart because they didn't happen or they happened, something went on. Look here. Start shifting yourself and start shifting your prayers and say, God, let your will be done. God, change my will. Help me to desire what you want for me. Help me to move past what I can't understand. Because God, ultimately, you still have a plan for me. The plan has never changed. That's the beautiful thing about God, Jimmy. When we mess up royally, His plan still didn't change. He forgives us. He doesn't sit there and hold it against us. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. And then He begins to describe His plan. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Here's what we've got to do. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. Some people's asking God, well, God, where are you at? Look here, did you talk to Him? Did you pray with Him? Did you have that conversation with Him that you've not yet had in your life that's got you so tore up? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all, there it is again, all of your heart. We got to seek Him with all our heart, and we got to trust Him with all of our heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And I'm going to stop right there. And I want to speak to that person this morning. Maybe one, maybe more of you. I don't know. I just know that this is what God had for you today. But the thing that you haven't been quite able to get through, It has held you captive. The biggest thing you got to mourn over is the things in life that you didn't expect. The devil would use that to captivate you and to keep you there and to keep you bitter and upset and broken for the rest of your life about that. God's asking, can I give you freedom today? Can you open up and let me come inside of that place and deliver you from that? If that's you today, if there's something in your life and it happened unexpectedly, you have not been able to just, you want to, but there's something there and it's like a captivation and it's got you, it's had you for a long time, I'm going to ask you to stand up because, see, God doesn't want you to have to stay like that. He doesn't want you to have to live like that. He's asking you to live again, to have joy again. The most important person that you'll ever lay your hands on is yourself. And practice makes perfect. Y'all put your hand over your heart. If you're standing, put your hand over your heart. Because see, you're going to say a prayer with me and you're going to repeat. And we're going to pray over ourselves. Father in heaven, right now, I open up that door to my heart and I invite you to come in to that situation that's held me. And right now, I thank you that you're taking it up right now. In Jesus' name, amen.